This is Ujjwal Nilamani by Sri Rupa Goswami Pad. We're discussing Nayaka Bay, Chapter 1. We discovered two of Krishna's qualities as the Dhir Lalita Nayak and also as a Dhirodatta Nayak. Now we're going to discuss Dhirodatta, two Ds, Dhirodatta, D-H, Datta. This type of hero is called the arrogant hero. And Rupa Goswami defines this Dhirodatta Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the second wave, chapter 1, verse 236. He says, Matsaryavan Ahankari Mayavi Roshanas Chalaha Vikantanash Chavidvadbir Dhirodatta Udarita. The Dhirodatta Nayak is the haughty, is the he's a hankari, he's full of hankar. You know people like that? Full of hankar? Really proud. Me too. At the arrogant hero, it says here the haughty. Haughty is a little old English type. Arrogant is a little more into the time. So he's the arrogant hero. So we heard about the arrogant hero and the carefree hero and the chivalrous hero. Now the proud and restless hero. This is a person or a hero who shows envy, matsarya, all the good qualities, pride, envy. These are enemies that are told in every shastra. All of our shastras and acharyas are telling we must remove greed, anger, lust, and envy from our mind by bhakti bhajan and mercy of God. There. But then we say, wait a minute, Krishna, I'm just being like Krishna. Krishna is really envious, and I'm really envious of all the devotees, especially my rich people and beautiful people and healthy people and all those kind of people. And then it says he's really proud. I'm really proud. And everyone's telling me, Trinada, peace, Suniche, not, you know, supposed to be like a blade of grass in the street, but I'm Krishna's part and parcel. I read it in the Gita. Mamevamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. I read in the Gita that the Atma is part and parcel of Krishna. So Krishna's, he's a matsari and a hankari. So I'm envious and proud also. So what's the problem? Why are you telling me that you're supposed to be more humble than a, tolerant than a tree, humble than a blade of grass? That's for some kind of Buddhist. But I'm a Krishna Bhakta, so I'm trying to be like Krishna. So the Dhirodatta hero, Rupa Goswami is saying he's envious. This is Krishna. Krishna is Matsarya Hankari. He's proud and envious and deceitful and angry and fickle and boastful by nature. And if you have those qualities, you'll never be a Krishna Bhakta, although Krishna has them. But sometimes they say, like father, like son. Like mother, like daughter. Oh, you're like your father. He's so kind, generous, charitable, virtuous, noble. Yes, that's our tradition. We're Jats or we're Kshatriyas. So a father is like this. No, you have to be humble and free from envy and be tolerant and never be angry. It's like this. So now this is Krishna. It's quite an extraordinary hero, the Dhirodatta hero. We heard two of them. Now this is the third one. Dhirodatta. Double D-H-T-A. So what are his qualities? Matsarya, Ahankari, crowed. These are Krishna's qualities. He's envious. He's proud, arrogant, deceitful. He lies. He's angry. He's fickle. And he's boastful. I am so big. Who are you coward boys? I can knock Balaram and Dalji and go everybody at once. Come on. Come and try. I dare you. He slaps his arm. You know, takes his cheddar off his head, off his shoulder, in the small cheddar. And he pulls his hair back and ties it with his cheddar. And like a gumcha type thing, cheddar. He ties his hair real tight like that and lets it hang off the back. And then slaps his arms because now he's bare chest, you know. Just his, those few gems that he has, the kostuma money. and a motimala. These are always with Krishna. And a locket. Many things are always with Krishna. And sometimes he takes them off when he bathes or whatnot. But some things they just stay all the time. And that's the Kushtuba money, the pearl necklace, and the Gunjamala that Radharani gave him, and also the locket. Around his neck, he has a necklace, and there's what you call a locket, pendant, a locket. Like we have Krishna or whatever we have. So he has a locket, and inside it has a picture of Radharani's face, a smiling face. And he keeps that, and it just sits there right on his heart all the time. And it's Vamshi. He sleeps with all these things. He sleeps with, he walks with, he eats with, he talks with. Everywhere he goes with these things. And Makar Kundala. And more Mukut. There's many things that... Oh, okay. Just like when different... Who was it? There was some story about one of the cowherd boys. I think it was Madhu Mangal or whatever. Sridhar maybe. He wanted to dress up as Krishna. So then Krishna said, okay, you have to have a Kostuba money. You have to... So he gave some imitation Kostuba money and dressed him up. And then some demon who was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna, I forget which one, to Vrindavan. And then the demon said, well, how do I know? There's all these coward boys, they all play flute, and they're all beautiful, and there's some blue ones and green ones and red ones and golden ones and white ones. So many different colored coward boys. How do I know which one is the blue Krishna? Because there's so many blue other boys that are blue. He says, no, he'll have this Mormukut and Makara Kundala, and he'll have Kostuba money, and have a locket around his neck and a pearl necklace and a peacock feather and a top knot. And like this. So then, okay. So then it was, maybe Sridham, I forget. But Sridham's blue in color, interestingly enough. It's quite an amazing thing that your brother is black and you're gold. Or your sister's gold and you're black. That's a little unusual. So the sister of Sridham is whom? Radharani's, that's the answer, Radharani. The sister of Sridham is Radharani, right? And the sister of Sridham and Radharani is Anangamanjari. So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Sridham is beautiful blue in color. Why? So anywhere Radharani turns when she goes to Varsana, she's going to remember Krishna. Because when she spends 6 months a year, three here, three here, three here, three, like this, some acharyas say, including my Pandit Baba, 2.5 months here, and 3 times a year it stays in Yavat, and 3 times a year in Barsana, Radharani, she moves. Like village girls today in Braj, they go back and forth to visit their parents on Diwali and Navaratri and Shanji or whatever. And Pitri Paksha, they come and they're there. So then Sridham's there to remind. So then Sridham dressed up, dressed up Sridham like Krishna. I think it was Keshi, actually. So he said, so then Kamsa told, he'll look like this. So now he's, oh there he is, he's blue. And he has Kostuba money. And he had, that must be Krishna. But it was Sridham. Dressed up like Krishna, because one day Sridham said, I want to know what it's like to be Krishna. You know, I mean, I'm Sridham, but, you know, can you dress me up? I want to have that feel and just be you for the day. So then he did, and that was the last time he ever did that. Because in case she came to town, he said, oh, this is my victim. I have to kill this. This is Krishna. So he ran up, ah, and turned around and kicked him. He kicked Sridham in the chest. Oh, Sridham got hit and he went tumbling back. And he woke up. He said, Krishna, take this stuff. Who is this demon? Help me, you know, kill this guy. So then Krishna said, okay, no problem. Because Krishna, he had duplicate. Krishna had the real thing. That Sridham was just wearing a duplicate. Like, you know, you go in the market and get Chinese fake things, you know. So he had a fake Kostuba. He had a fake pearl necklace. And then he had all fake. Just like in Krishna book, in Dwarka Lila, there's someone called Pondraka. You must be knowing. Pondraka dressed himself just like Krishna. And he went to the Braj Mandali group. And he said, what's the name of your group? Braj Mandali. He said, "Oh, I need some blue shoe polish. I saw your movies, and I want to make my skin blue and everything like those Krishna in your movies and your dramas." "Oh yeah, we use this." You know, okay. So then Flandraka got all that over his face. Then he tied two extra arms on his body. Then he had a Kostuba Mani and Makara Kundala. He didn't have a peacock feather because he said he's Vishnu. So he had Chakra Padgata. Then he sent his messenger. He took Krishna and Dwarka. He said, "You're bogus. You're fake. You're an imposter. I am Vishnu. I'm Vishnu." And then Vishnu at the time was sitting with all the Pandavas and Kaurava Pandavas in the Sudharma Assembly House. And this person came in. He said, "I have to make an announcement from the King Flandraka. Please listen." Dwarkadish, Sri Dwarkadish Maharaj. Then he read his proclamation. "You come, either you give up, you surrender the symbols of Vishnu, or else I will kill you and send you to Yamaraj, and you'll never imitate me again." So Krishna said, "Did you hear that, everyone? And can you repeat that?" And then he repeated it, and everybody was like falling off their asans laughing. Who is this ridiculous fool and demon, Flandraka? And then Krishna listened patiently twice for everyone's entertainment. Then he replied to the Brahmin messenger, this quote unquote, "You're supposed to be able to trust a Brahmin messenger." Then, he said, "Listen, tell your king that he's an imposter, and I'm going to take him out on the battlefield, and with my chakra, I'm going to sever his head from his body, and I'm going to send him to hell. And he'll never imitate me or adopt my insignias again." So then that message came back. So he wore all fake things. He had a fake Kostuba, just like Sri Rama. So this is Krishna. This is a type of hero, and I took a few notes more so we can hear more about this arrogant hero. He's disrespectful, he's conceitful, braggish, boastful. He possesses intense, passionate anger, and he tends to impose on others. Sounds like some temple commanders I met. He tends to impose on others. He's full of anger, and braggish, deceitful, fickle, boastful. The idea is, whenever you're reading Leelas, Sakhi Leela or Madhurya Leela, and you see Krishna acting in a very proud and angry and boastful way, then you know at that particular juncture, now Krishna has adopted his feature as a Dhirodhata Nayak. Because Vishwanath was telling us before that when he's home, after he takes breakfast and he rests a little bit, then he meets Radharani at Guptakund. Guptakund is on the west side of Nandagaon. He goes there through a secret passage out of his room through a tunnel, and the tunnel comes out what ISKCON knows as Brindakund, or what is historically known as Guptakund. That's the ancient site of the Yoga Peet, the morning Yoga Peet, where all the gopis and Krishna meet together for the first Sambhog Milan. And there's Artik and a beautiful worship of the divine couple. It's called Sakhi Arti. Sakhi Arti. All the Sakhis offer Arti, and the Manjris are there. It's a beautiful scene in Nandagaon. And then, depending on the mood and desire and the time and feelings of the divine couple, sometimes after the puja, it's a formal puja, like we do in the temple, with ghee lamp and agarbatti and flowers and mala, chandan. And they're sitting on the singhasan in the Yogapit Mandir at Guptakund. And then all around the Yogapit Mandir, which is the same configuration everywhere, whether it's Yogapit Nandagaon in the morning, or whether it's the afternoon Yogapit in Alita's Kunj and Radhakund, or whether it's the evening Yogapit in Vrindavan, in Govinda's Thali, or the Maha Yogapit of Vrindavan, where the old temple is. So then afterwards, if Krishna, the mood is there and desire is there, then Radha and Krishna have, they meet in some of those kunjas. Always there's a yoga pit, there's three yoga pit mandirs, and they have the same configuration, design, and architecture. And then surrounding them, all those yoga pit mandirs, the puja mandir. Then there's so many kunjas, kunjas of the astasakis, and their astasakis, and their astasakis, and their astasakis. So there's circles of kunjas. There's eight kunjas around Radhakund, and there's 16 kunjas around those eight, and there's 32 around those 16, and there's 64 around those 32, and there's 128 kunjas around those 64, and there's whatever 128 times 2 is, you know, 350 or 2, whatever it is, and then 500, and thousands and thousands of kunjas, and all different yuteshwaris, with all different sakis and all different mandiris. And Krishna is in every one of the... Oh, it's inconceivable. My teacher told me that, because I asked him once, I said, what kunja is my ashram in, and this and that. He said, your perception of what you're seeing is, it's the plane of this lila, the actual transcendental spiritual sky of Radhakund is so vast and so big. He said the actual perimeter, the kunjas, the actual kunjas, which are part of the yoga pit, they go out for 10, 20 kilometers. In terms, if we want to use our geographical measurement, they extend, he said, they extend to Hodel. Hodel is when you're coming to Delhi, you're watching all these signposts, especially when you get close to Braj. Hodel, where's Hodel? Palwal, Hodel, that's getting close. Oh, and then you get excited. Then Palwal. That's very close. And then if someone like Dina Bandhu or these very smart people, they know exactly where the Braj border begins, because I was in a taxi with them once. It's not in Hodel, that's further north towards Delhi. You know? And then you come further south to Palwal, I believe so. Then right after Palwal, there's some demarcation, you know, because it's all land, the same land here and there. UP, Haryana, it's all just, you know, artificial boundaries and designations. So then you know you're in Braj Mandal. So this is Krishna. So what I was saying is Vishnu said in the morning, he's in yoga pit, and then he goes in the kunjas and joys with Radharani. It's called Sangshipta Sambhog. Sambhog means enjoying intimately and beautifully, sweetly together, the lover and beloved, Nayak and Nayaka. Nayak and Nayika. And Shana, everyone knows this word. We see it everywhere. And Astakams we recite during Kartik and many places. K-S-A-N-A. And under the S, there's a dot. And we know from BBT books about diacritics and all that, that a dot under the S or a slash above the S means it's sha. Well, it's different types of sha also. Sha. No. Anyway, it's some kind of SH, let's say that. So it's K-S-H-A-N-A. So when Krishna, he meets Radharani, so shana means a moment, a short period of time, and sam means complete. It's only a moment, but it's a complete, feels like complete satisfaction. Because in this intimate meeting and enjoying different pastimes together, that's called sambhog, enjoying with Radharani and all the gopis. Whether they're alone together, Radharani and Krishna, or whether it's hundreds and thousands of gopis in the Rasa Lila, this all has the same word, sambhog, enjoying samyak. Samyak bhog means enjoying samyak completely, absolute, complete saturation, complete fulfillment, complete satisfaction, and on and on and on. So that's sambhog. There's Julan sambhog and Rasa Lila sambhog and Rati Kali sambhog and Jal Kali sambhog. All this is sambhog. So then there's viraha, or separation, which is another ras, another type of Madhurya ras, another type of sweet ecstasy. And Sanatana Goswami says the ecstasy and bliss and joy of being in separation from each other is 1,000 times more. It's all Madhurya. It's all love. The ecstasy that the lovers feel in separation is thousands of times more than when they're together. And whether it's in separation, Radha and Krishna, whether it's together, the ecstasy we're saying for some idea of comparison, 1,000 times was 1,000 times, 1,000 times infinity. Because the happiness of Radha and Krishna together is infinite. There's no limit, there's no boundaries. And the happiness that Radha and Krishna feel in separation is also limited. And the verse that's maybe mentioned in Vidagdha Madhava also by Sri Rupa Goswami Pad is that, and it's often depicted in Rasalila performances, probably yourself also, that when Radharani is with Krishna, she sees one Krishna. This is a very familiar point. And when she's, that's called Sambhog. Sambhog Milan. Milan means meeting, and Sambhog means meeting and enjoying together. Sambhog Milan. So then, Viraha, so it says, when I'm with Krishna, Sambhog Milan, I as one Krishna, as one Radha, and I feel very happy, blissful, completely blissful, obviously. Mahabhava Surupini, Ladni Surupini Radharani. And Dubai, when I'm separated from Krishna, I feel 1,000 times more blissful. Why? Because when I'm with Krishna, there's one Krishna, and I'm loving one Krishna. But when I'm separated from Krishna, I see 1,000 Krishnas, and I'm loving 1,000 Krishnas. So if I'm loving one Krishna, I'm getting one type of loving bliss, one degree of loving bliss. But if I'm loving 1,000 Krishnas, then I'm getting 1,000 times the loving bliss in separation. It's so intense, the separation, that she's talking to that Krishna. And when she gets so painful, the gopis, they just say, Radharani, just go to sleep or whatever. So she falls asleep and has Swapna Amrita Vilas. She meets Krishna in a dream. And she's telling, oh, what are you doing? And then sometimes what happens, this is in separation. Radharani's dreaming of Krishna and having a wonderful union with Krishna in a dream. And suddenly that Viraha Leela is over. Because Radharani's not alone anymore. Krishna appears on the scene, lies in the flower bed next to her. And because sometimes she's saying in her dream, what are you doing? Don't touch my blouse. So Krishna very quietly, surreptitiously, he gets into the flower bed where Radharani's in separation. And he lies there. And she's dreaming, right? She's sleeping, her eyes are closed. And she's just talking in her sleep. But for her, talking in a sleep is real time. It's not a dream. Because there's no such, it's not the illusion. It's not, it doesn't disappear when you wake up. She dreams about Krishna kissing her. When she wakes up, what does she see? Krishna kissing her. So when you dream that you're just riding on a horse and you're a king or whatever. And then you wake up, and you put on your sneakers and you get on your bicycle and you go to a vegetarian store and buy some food. But when Radharani is not, so it's, we say dream because she's sleeping and Krishna's not really there. But suddenly and by surprise, he shows up. Don't touch me. Why are you kissing my eyes like that? Radharani's in a dream, and she says, Krishna, don't touch my blouse like that, my kanchuli. So then Krishna goes like this. and then Radharani with her hand, she does this in her sleep. Because when Radharani moves her hand like this to knock Krishna's hand off her shirt or, blouse, kanchuli, whatever. So then Krishna says, and then he's like this. And then she says, and why are you kissing me on the eyes like that? So Krishna is like, painting by numbers. It's like, okay, paint red here and paint blue here, or cooking. Step one, okay, add the flour. Okay, what does it say now? Oh, baking powder. Okay, how much? Oh, no. Much, oh. And you're reading, or and then da-da-da, and then, this, 250, 15 minutes. No, I hope it comes out. And so then, then it blows up or whatever, run out of gas or whatever it is. So then Krishna, Radharani's directing Krishna what to do in her dream. So it's all Swapna Vilas. Swapna Vilas Amritam. It's nectar. It's real. She's really tasting bliss. And it's 1,000 times more than when she's with Krishna. And in this particular Leela instance that I'm explaining, that Krishna's actually suddenly appeared in the middle of the dream. And so the dream is partially, it's real and it's a dream. So what is real? What is the dream and what is real? Inside Radharani's spiritual mind, that's unreal. And outside, Krishna's real, or Krishna's unreal and inside is real. Because it's the same. Because the inside of Radharani's body is the same as the outside. The inside is made of Mahabhava and the outside is made of Mahabhava. The inside of our body is made of stool and bones and blood and flesh. And the outside is made of skin and whatever. Quite a big difference. And underneath all of that is us, the Atma. There's a huge difference between the Atma and the body. All these, it's called coverings, kosh, jiva kosh, anamaya kosh, and manamaya kosh, kosha. There's so many coverings of a living entity. But there, Radharani's body, from inside out, outside in, same with Krishna, it's Mahabhav. Krishna is prema. So this is a beautiful lila. So in this lila, Radharani was separated from Krishna, then she was in viraha, and all of a sudden she woke up. She said, oh, you're here. How you came? And then some mantri comes and says, look, Radharani, look at this mirror. Why you bring the mirror now? You haven't dressed me. No, I want to show you something amazing. So the mantri, Navadasi, comes in because she brought Krishna in there to begin with. Krishna came. Oh, I want to see. Krishna came and the mantri was at the door guarding. Dwaras titam. There's one verse in Radharasanidhi. Dwaras titam. When will I be fixed? Dwaras titam rasaradi patita. Patita. Dwaras titam rasaradi, rasaradi patita kadasyam. Said, when will I be standing? Dwaras titam, stita, standing. Dwara, door. When will I be standing by the door of the kunja? And I'll fall. Rasarada patita. Nimagna kadasyam. When will I fall into an ocean of ras and become completely submerged in it and drown it? Magana. Patita. Patit means to fall. Like we say, oh, I'm patit, I'm a fallen soul. So he's situated there. So this mantri who is guarding there and Radharani sleeping and having swapna amrit vilas, then Krishna comes and says, can I, Swamini, inside? Yes. May I go? He said, no, she's sleeping, she's dreaming, she's very tired. Oh, okay, I'll just go, just bring me in, I'll be quiet. Okay. So now the mantri's there, Radharani's just woken up from her dream, and Krishna's there. They're both, all three of them are there, sitting on the bed, and the mantri's standing, and she immediately grabs a mirror, and she's, Radharani, look in the mirror, look in the darpan. And then Radharani she doesn't say anything, she just looks like, because she's controlled by the love of her devotees. She controls Krishna, but she herself is controlled by the love of her devotees. Lalita controls Radharani. Okay, Radharani, duman. Do I have to? I really don't like this man, you know. No, Krishna likes it. Okay, Krishna likes it. Get out from here. Because she's dakshin. The lover, the true lover is always dakshin. But she knows that the beloved likes to have a bold, you know, an arrogant one, or reject a contrary one, or an opposing one, to enhance the variation and variety, the chitravilas. The chitravilas and the Madhurya Lila. So Radharani is speaking with her eyes, and she's submissive. She says, okay, you know, she looks at the mantri in a slight glance. She says, what? Pray tell, why the mirror now? I don't understand. Then mantri just shows the mirror and says, and then Radharani looks in the mirror, and then she sees something, and she looks at the mantri next to the mirror. The mantri's holding the mirror and Radharani's looking. And then the mantri's just looking like this, a little shyly, because she wants Radharani to study the image of herself in the mirror for a second or two. So she gets the idea, she gets the picture. Then the mantri thinks it's enough time. She can feel that Radharani has registered her message in her heart. And the mantri glances up. And then Radharani looks at her and then says, I understand why you bought the mirror. Now, what does it mean? When the mantri held up the mirror, Radharani looked in the mirror and said, my God, there's kajal on my eyelids. There's lipstick on my cheeks. And there's scratches on my chest. And I was only dreaming. How do these things happen? Then Krishna looks at the mantri and says, don't tell Radharani. You understand the story? He Is clear? And you don't understand. See, you understand. Everyone understands? Because Radharani was dreaming. And in her dream, Krishna, she was having vilas with Krishna. You understand? Enjoyment. Krishna was not there. So then Krishna came in, and in her sleep, she was in her sleep, alone, in her sleep, in her dream. She's dreaming alone. In her dream, she's alone. No one's there. But Krishna's there. So then Krishna's in her dream, and she said, oh, don't touch my kanchuli. So then Krishna touched her kanchuli. But he came in, he was actually there, but she didn't know it because she was dreaming. So then she said, why are you kissing me like that? Radharani had lipstick on her eyelids. That's Krishna gets kajal on his one. So this is what she saw. So as she was saying things, Krishna, why are you kissing my eyelids? So when Krishna kissed Radharani on her lips, the lipstick went on his lips. And when he kissed her eyelids, the lipstick came on her eyelids, right? And she's just saying in a dream, why are you kissing my eyelids? And when she woke up, oh, what a dream that was. Oh, Krishna, you're here. Then the Mandri said, I want to show you something. And when she looked in the mirror, she saw her image. And on her eyelids, she saw lipstick. Now you got it? And the image, you know, of herself. And on her cheeks, she saw lip marks. And so, because then the Mandri Krishna. So when that was going on between the Mandri and Radharani, then Krishna was catching the attention, because the Mandri's heart is fully moving with the heart of Krishna and fully moving with the heart of Radharani in the Leela, in the Madhurya Leela. It's like imagine there's a train on two tracks, there's two rails, and you're in the middle. So the train, one rail is Radharani's heart and one rail is Krishna's heart. And so you're a third rail, a triple rail. You know, they have a monorail. Now there's a triple rail. Instead of two or one, it's three. So you're right there. You're looking left and you're looking right. Your heart is divided in half. How is Radharani feeling? How is Krishna feeling? What does Radharani want now? What does Krishna want? And this is the psyche, a mentality of the Manjari. So anyway, if you got it, good. If you didn't, then keep chanting. As Prabhupada would say, it's very clear to me and anyone else that, so what, and then Krishna communicated, so the Mandri was looking at Radharani, and Radharani was saying, oh, I understand. This means that it seems that I'm only dreaming. I know Krishna wasn't here, but maybe Krishna came and did these things while I was sleeping. And then the Mandri kind of communicated, yes, that's right. So now Radharani knows and Krishna knows, but then the Mandri turns to Krishna, he's looking like, don't tell Radharani I came here. You see how clever the Mandris are. Because they're not Krishna Sneha Adik. Adik means extra, additional. Sneha means love, affection. It's a type of temperament. Is that your note, temperament? Type of mood or feeling, how one feels. I may feel hot, cold towards this person or hot towards that person, or whatever. So this Radhasneha Adik is the definition of some gopis also, but especially all the Mandris and maidservants of Radharani, they have extra, additional, more affection for Radha than Krishna. They love Krishna, the Mandris, the Kinkaris and servants of Radharani, they love Krishna unlimitedly, but they love Radharani unlimitedly more. And this, such types of measurements and such statements are only possible when we're discussing transcendence. Jiva Goswami mentions in the Tattva Sandarbha that unless one accepts the conception and the principle of Achintya Tattva, that the truth of the spiritual reality is inconceivable, you can't take one step. Faith, you only move on the strength of your faith. Your feet are your faith. Shraddha, Shraddhapada. Let's coin a new term, Shraddhapada. Shraddhapada. So, do Shraddhapada, or do pada Shraddha. Because Shraddha means Vishwas, faith, and pada means feet. So we walk on the Marg. Marg means road, way. Bhakti means devotion. The way of devotion, the Bhakti Marg. We walk on that Marg by the power on our feet, but our feet are our faith, our vishwas. So we hear these things that because this is what Rupa Goswami tells us, and this is what our acharyas tell us. So, and now a sakhi like Vrinda, she's also a sakhi, but she's not a kinkari or a manjari. She's a kayavyu of Radharani. So she's a sakhi, and she has Krishna Sneha Adik. She's in charge of making all arrangements for the physical, the nature and the birds and everything. That's sometimes they say she's Leela Shakti, but that's not quite correct. You could say she's Leela Shakti apprentice. You know, apprentice or assistant. That's a better word. Vrindadevi is Leela. I have read in some books, which is incorrect. I've read in some published books that Vrindadevi is a Leela Shakti. It's not correct. The Leela Shakti is Yoga Maya. And Yoga Maya is Krishna's Sarup Shakti and his personal energy to arrange all the Leelas. So all the Leelas, who's going to come, who's going to do what, everything is arranged by Yoga Maya, Purnamasi, and Prema. Now, all the particular Leelas that involve Madhurya Leela, Radha and Krishna Gopis, there, Vrindadevi is the chief of among many, the chief assistant Sakhi to Yoga Maya in her Leela arrangement. So Yoga Maya, she's the choreographer, and she decides what this Leela will be here, this Leela will be there. So when the Leelas will be in a particular Kunjavan, then Yoga Maya communicates, they work together. Says, Vrindadevi, it's going to be in this Kunja, get to work. Like you can say, Purnamasi is the temple president, and Vrindadevi is the temple commander. So then Vrindadevi goes to that Kunja, and she calls all of her Vandevis. These are assistants to her that are Vrindadevi Sneha Adik. Very affectionate to Vrindadevi, and says, get this, get that, pick some fresh gunjas, we have to make new gunja malas, grind some chandan, you know, open the musical instrument store, bring out these, Radharani wants, he's going to play Veena today, and then maybe Sarangi, whatever, and she wants to play a Kachapi, there's four different types of Veenas, she wants to play a Madhavika Veena today, that's the message I got, so take that Madhavika Veena out from the storage, get this, get that, get this, get that. So then they make all arrangements. So Vrindadevi is a master designer. Like some people are designers by profession. Fashion designers, home decor designers, etc. So Vrindadevi is a phenomenal, fantastic designer. Okay, listen, you and you suckies, we have to make nice garlands on the entrance and so many things. So just to be clarifying for your own understanding of proper tattvas, that she's subservient and works underneath Yoga Maya. In a specific area. Yoga Maya is working everywhere with Yashoda and Krishna and the coward boys and the servants in the house and with Abhimanyu and Jatila and Kutila and everywhere Yoga Maya is there. But Vrindadevi, because I always see her, and even if you read the Govinda Lilamrita or Krishna Bhavanamrita, you will see how she, you know, Vrindadevi says, come, when the divine couple come, oh, let me show you the forest. And then Vrindadevi, she commands, oh, parrot, start singing. Beautifully, the divine couple are coming. Oh, Maina birds, which are Sarika. Sarika means Maina birds. So start singing beautiful poetry in Sanskrit to please Radha Krishna. Oh, trees, start, Kadamba trees, start blossoming with your beautiful flowers. Oh, bees, start buzzing. So these are all the employees, all the fairies, the fairies of the forest fairies. We say Vandevi is like a fairy, you know, fairy, F-A-I-R-Y. Forest fairies, some kind of celestial beings or nymphs that inhabit forests. At least that's what they say in the English literature of yore. Fairies and trolls and fairies. Trolls are some rakshash under the bridge capturing little girls going to see their grandmothers. Or little Red Riding Hood or whatever. So this is... This samshipta means very brief but very fulfilling. Then afterwards, then Krishna goes to the Leelas. So this is the arrogant hero. And then the example of that in terms of, besides Krishna, What I was saying is that Vishnu said that when Krishna in a house before Krishna leaves to go to that Gupta Kund, which Yashoda doesn't know about, he's supposed to be sleeping in his room after breakfast, but he sneaks out and posts two guards there. Then he comes back to his room and says, "Oh, yeah, Yashoda, did you get a nice rest after your meal?" "Oh, yeah, it was nice. Everything's digested now. I feel very enthusiastic. And where are those cows now? Give me those cows. Let's take out those cows. I'm ready for anything now." So, as everyone knows, the kind of ebullition that one feels, enthusiasm for anything. So Krishna is very enthusiastic to meet his boyfriends in Balaram and take out the cows. So when he's in the house and when he gives charity, then he's a Dhiradatta hero. And as soon as he steps out of the house, Vishnu says, then he changes his heroic feature, heroic presentation. And as soon as he walks through the gates of Nandagram, through the Puradwara, the gate of the city or the village of Nandagram, then he adopts the feature of the Dhiralalita hero, the carefree hero. And he just walks in a certain way, like a royal elephant. And when he's in a palace, he's walking very humbly and respectfully and donating to the Brahmins. And because the example of the Dhiradatta, the chivalrous hero, Lord Ramachandra, is given as the example. And I read a citation from Gita Govinda that shows Krishna displaying that heroic quality. So this is the arrogant, envious Nayak, easily angered and boastful. And what are examples of this? So examples are Matsya Avatar, Varaha Avatar, Vamanadev, Parasaram, and Kalki. They're easily angered, they're envious, they're proud, they're boastful, they're fickle. But there's also an example of Krishna, which is there. This is only a reminder here in Ujjala Nilamani, because Rupa Goswami says, I already taught you all this. I gave you all the examples in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the last chapter, 5, and also in part 2 here, it says chapter 1 and 230. So he doesn't give any examples. He just lists the 4 types of Nayaks, Dhiradatta and Dhiradatta. Lita and Dhiradatta. So there's an example. We'll just read this from Gita Govinda. And the Acharyas in the Tika, they're saying that this is the example of the Dhiradatta hero. This is verse 20. This describes Krishna as the Dhiradatta. This is the same as, this is all part of the actual Mangalacharana. Madhumura naraka vinashana he garudasana he garudasana surakula keli nidana garudasana surakula keli nidana jaya jaya deva hare madhumura naraka vinashana madhumura Marumura naraka vinashana garudasana he garud, right? Garud. Garudasana surakula keli nidana jaya jaya deva hare. This is Jayadeva Goswami's beautiful glorification of Hari and his various avatars and expansions. And here he says, O Deva, O Hari, O destroyer of the demons, Madhu, Mora, and Narak. They're in the Krishna book, Narak and Mora, Madhu and Kaitab, that was the beginning of the universe. They stole the Vedas from Brahma. They ran away with the books. And then Krishna came and recovered the knowledge. And the Hayagriva avatar, he appeared as a horse, talking horse. So he said, oh, you who ride upon your transcendental ego, Garuda, Garud Asan, his Asan, the Asan of Shiva, is Nandi, Wahan or Asan. The Wahan or Asan of Saraswati is a swan, I think. It seems to be the swan. And the Wahan of Brahmaji is swan, and like this. And the Wahan of Krishna Vrindavan is his feet. He walks on his feet and sits on his derriere. He sits on the ground of Braj, on the sandy banks. He sits, you can say in Braj, Krishna's asana is the Dopata asana. There's a Sanskrit word which I can't think. But the veils of the gopis and the Rasalila chapters, Rasa Panchadaya, 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33. After they finally reunite again, after being separated, Krishna ran away from everyone, the gopis, with Radharani. And then he ran away from Radharani, and they all found him. And then they said, "Sir, please sit down. We want to talk to you. You better take this sitting down. We have something to say to you, and it's going to be a little hard on you. So if you stand up, you may faint. So you better sit down, because we want to pull your ear a little bit." But then they took their veils, dopatta, whatever they say, this arana, I forget the name, this veil that they, cloth they put on their head, cover their heads with, and then they put on the ground, and when it was removed from their bodies, it picked up some of the fragrant red kunkum adorning the top of their breasts. So then when Krishna sat down, it was also an udipan. When he sat down, it was also an udipan to see their kunkum stained like dopata veil. He thought, "Oh, this is a good sign," because then Samudrika, or in some Puranic shastras, it tells you auspicious and inauspicious. We call omens, omen, O-M-E-N, omen. And if you walk out of your house, you step out of your house, and you see a dead body going in a direction you're about to walk in, then that's inauspicious. Say you want to go out your door of your house on a street like my street and turn left. If a dead body is going that way, it's inauspicious to follow it, because that means you're next. It's dead, and you don't want to go that way. I want to go away from death. I want to stay alive. But if you step out of your house and it's going opposite direction you're going to, you just fold your hands and respond as they encourage you to respond. They say, "Ram Nam Satyahe, Ram Nam Satyahe." So you say, "Yeah, okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Satyahe." The Hare Krishna mantra is eternal truth. Because they say that when they carry a dead body. I lived 3 years in Sevakunj. Many times I was leaving Radhadamodar temple in Prabhupada's room where I served, and the dead bodies go that way. Because they have some idea. Devotees want to see the seven temples. It's called the Goswami Saptalaya. Goswami Saptalaya means the seven temples of Vrindavan. Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Gopinath, Radhamaman, Gokulananda, etc. So they want to see. So they're on the palanquin, and they're about to go to the Yamuna to be burned on the funeral pyre, Shamshan. Shamshan. So the last stop before the Yamuna is the Damodar Mandir. So they go all to the temples, all the great sadhus. It's actually a very wonderful scene to see. I saw quite a few. There's a lot of old people live in Vrindavan. In 3 years, you can imagine how many sadhus and babajis and sannyasis and devotees and widows and whatnot. And they're all devotees. And they want to do like this. My own Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, did the same thing. Of course, he was interred. He was interred in samadhi in the ground. But they did, because that was in the will. And Srila Narayamraj, he was in charge of all those ceremonies, and he made sure they observed all the protocol of the. At that time, they were following the maryada to the T, all the behavior and codes of proper conduct for the atyasti samskara. The last of 10 sanskaras, which is the rites of death. Every religion, even every culture, has something called the rites of death. There's a whole book about it, written among the Buddhists, called Tibetan Book of the Dead. That's a little different angle, but this concept is there. Rites and rituals and pujas and things that are done everywhere for the death. So this is the 10th one. So Prabhupada, they took Prabhupada on a palanquin, a huge kirtan. I wasn't there. I heard about it, read about it. And they went to all the temples, and the last stop on the line was Radha Damodar. And of course, when you're in that situation, you're not allowed inside the temple. No matter how elevated you are, still the Goswami temples, they follow strict sadachar and strict rules of Hari Bhakti Vilas and other puja vidhis. So no dead bodies are allowed in the temple. He didn't come inside Krishna Balaram either. And he left his body and his kutir behind the temple, and he was taken on Parikrama and Palanquin. If it's going the opposite way, it's very auspicious when you step out. So then if you see a full pot of milk, that's very auspicious. You know, someone's walking by, and everyone around me has buffalo, and everyone around me is always milking them. So I see so many full. And then, if you have proper conception, conception means knowing, understanding, then you have proper perception. So if you understand something, then you can see. So when we understand that all the creatures in Vrindavan are transcendental, and they're not only transcendental, one, they're transcendental, two, they're devotees, three, they're all devotees of Radha and Krishna, four, they're part of Radha and Krishna's leelas. They're part of the leelas in Aprakat Dham and Prakat Dham. So we have to cultivate the behavior of a Dham Vasi. We have to cultivate the behavior and mentality and heart of a lover of Radha and Krishna and a lover of all the birds. Krishna loves the birds. When he walks out into the forest on Bhavan Vihar, he says, "Oh, Radharani, listen to those sarikas." And then they're singing so nicely. And then Krishna just looks and says, "Come, I'll feed you." And they come and they land on his hand and he feeds them pomegranates. Krishna's feeding these quote-unquote birds. I'm feeding the birds. There's no difference. The same birds that Krishna fed, I'm feeding their relatives. This is Nitya Leela. So we have to understand that. And we don't just live in our box between our ears. When you live in Vrindavan, you're living in the middle of the Leela. So you can live in an isolated life, an insular, isolated, island-like life wherever you are. What is the island? The island is your apartment. And who's in on that island? Husbands, wives, children, lovers, whatever. And then the water around the island. And so that's your whole island is in there, your job, your workplace, your play place, your house. But here, you know, if you live in Vrindavan, it's not just your personal bhajan, elevation, purification, and perfection, and self-realization. You're now a member of the whole caste. You've been accepted into the Leela of Radha and Krishna if you can live here. So that means, just like, imagine if Radha and Krishna are here. They are. Imagine if you're in their Leela. You are. And how would you relate? So then, because Vrindadeva say, go to that kunja, this is, first of all, this is a kunja. This is Radharani's kunja. So the birds are singing. They get thirsty. How do they sing all those Sanskrit verses? You ever read Govinda Leelamrita? The Shukansaris. Shukansaris, they speak 100 different shlokas. 200 shlokas in Sanskrit glorifying the Rupa of Radharani and the Guna of Radharani and the Krishna. So you speak 200 shlokas, you get thirsty, you know. And so then they drink. So that's the pails there. And then when Radha and Krishna sleep, they get hungry, they go eat it over there. What do you think it means to be in the spiritual world? It's a conception, it's a consciousness, it's a vision, it's a heart. And they all fuse together. And that's called self-realization of bhakti. So living in the Dham means to live in the Dham. I'm in Vrindavan. You're in Loi Bazaar. You're in your pocketbook. You're in your wallet. You're on your debit card. Okay, use all those things. We use all these things too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, I'm modern. I'm not. This is pretty modern. This is modern. This is modern. This is modern. Okay, we use, but it's like that's just in the background. The foreground is your heart, your mentality, your mind. How are you moving and dealing? This is the Vrindavan is the plane of love. If you can't learn to love everything about Vrindavan and everyone in it, you fail the course of bhakti in a grand way. You may get the accolades. You may get the accolades, which means the appreciation or applause, the accolades of your contemporaries or your associates. Oh, you're a good devotee. Oh, you're really humble. You're really nice. Oh, those are nice things you do. Oh, that's nice. So you're just living on your, you're just cruising on your blimp, you know, blimp. you're slowly, a blimp is a little helium. It's like a big balloon, like it's called blimp, B-L-I-M-P. You know? And they fill it with helium and it floats above the ground. I don't know what you call it. Balloon, helium balloon? No. So we're just cruising above and think, I'm good, you know. But we're no good if we don't see Krishna. And we're no good if we can't hear Krishna's flute. And we're no good if we're not seeing Krishna when we're living in Vrindavan. So then how do we become good? By associating with those devotees that are experiencing Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. So this is what our teachers are telling us in these purports, and especially the works of Srila Anantadas Babaji Maharaj. All those there's small lines everywhere. The verse is being described, but everywhere in every tika, there's many phrases and sentences that are directly from the sporan or sportian realization of someone, of a Rijvasi devotee, Raghunuya Bhakti, a pure devotee, who has realized Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, rather Radha Madhav. He likes to say Radha Madhav. So there's many tips throughout his books of how to think like a gopi, how to relate, how to live in Vrindavan. And some places also our acharyas say, especially Prabhupada Saraswati, if you cannot appreciate and understand and see how every single person in Vrindavan right now, 2017, is a transcendental personality with a Satchitananda spiritual body, then you'll never attain the mercy of Radha and Krishna. That demands a heavy perception and a heavy conception, a very deep conception, which will give you that perception. Then you need the heart to make it work. Because you may have the conception. I understand that, the conception. I accept that. But my nature, my heart is I'm envious and I'm proud. And I really don't like this. I'd like to be served or just be left alone. I don't want to take time to serve others or feed a cow or feed a dog or feed a bird or love a Brijvasi. I'm busy. I have to chant and do my thing. That's okay. But if you read the Acharya's books, you'll see that because ultimately it's success or perfection is an omnidirectional receptivity that you're the receptacle. It's called Kripa Patra. Patra means the receptacle, the recipient, and Kripa means mercy. So we are in the vortex. We are in the vortex. It means the center of Braj. Because wherever we are, wherever we're sitting doing bhajan and braj, that's our center. Then all of braj is orbiting like the Ras Mandal around us. Now, every part of that atmosphere around us and everyone in it, they have to give us mercy. So I call that omnidirectional mercy. Omni means all, and directional means sarvadisha. So kripa sarvadisha se, prapti. Sarvadisha kripa prapti. We have to acquire. It has to come from all directions. We need kripa from the land, from the trees, from the sadhus, from the widows, from the brijvasis, from the dogs, from the monkeys, everywhere. All of that kripa must come from all directions. And then the fruit of all that kripa will be prema. This is what I inferred, and this is what I've learned by studying the books of our acharyas that are available in English. And then I add my own 30 years of practice and experience to that. So it has some value, certainly to me, if not to you. It's because I had a different nature, a markedly different nature. Although I was gentle by nature and proud and all these things before I moved to Vrindavan, I was a devotee for 12 years and I moved. So this is the magic. We have to, It's a training ground of love. Vrindavan is the training ground of love. Transcendental spiritual Krishna Prema. And that's why it's one of five most powerful and ways to attain Krishna Prema. Any one of these, Nam Sankirtan, Dham Vas, Bhagavat Shravan, Thakurji Puja, Vaishnava Seva. So Vrindavan, Vaishnava, okay, Tilak Nekvi is Vaishnava. But in Vrindavan, the Vaishnava doesn't have Tilak. He doesn't say, when you say Haribo, he goes, you say Haribo, Haribo Bandura. That's his Haribo. He's a Vaishnava. There are stories of Babaji's and Sadhus, very advanced Vairagis. The one Babaji, when he would walk, he was actually seeing. I heard one story. One Babaji, when he was walking around, he was in such high niskinchan bhav, pure consciousness, that he saw everyone was wearing tilak. And it was the tilak of his parivar. Like paintings, when they do paintings, if a Nityananda Parivar does a painting of the Panchatattva, all the Panchatattva has Nityananda Parivar tilak. If an Advaitin, it was in the Advaitacharya's line, then all the Panchatattva have Advaitin. If it's an ISKCON Panchatattva, all the Panchatattva have ISKCON tilak. Because it's true, because it's everything is individual. And the Nityananda devotees, when they go to Nitya Lila, which is in a Prakat, at least our gurus told me it's part of the, in this Prakat, it's Nitya, but in this world, in one universe after the other. So they'll see, everyone has Nityananda Tilak. Because it's like this, it has to be that way. So this is some things about this Dhirodati hero. And little side points about Vrindavan.